forms of violence when you really come to think about it. Okay, so that's just one example of why I say that. I think you could trace these types of things to drugs, sex, and violence, and also the lust for power, which in my view, again, is in part related to, in a strange way, to, for example, drugs. Because when you crave power and you have your adrenaline rush, it's almost a natural drug, a natural high that you get from having that kind of authority over other people. But that's a sermon for another day. What all of these things have in common, though, is that they serve to drive people further and further away from the purity that the sacred scriptures demand of people who are serving a holy Elohim. And it can often be a gradual or even subtle process. What I mean by that means basically that you may not even be aware that it's happening. You know, you might say to yourself, well, I don't do drugs, or, you know, I don't look at pornography, or I don't, you know, fight, and I'm not fighting anyone, I'm not in the war, I'm not whatever. But it's more subtle than that, brethren. It's like the Trojan horse concept. And for those of you who may not be familiar with what I'm referring to, in Greek mythology and in reality, there's probably some historical basis to it. When the Greeks were at war with Troy, the Trojans had a pretty fortified, well-fortified city, and the only way that the Greeks, after many, many years of battle, were able to infiltrate that city was by deceiving the Trojans, by giving them presumably a gift of a large wooden horse. And when the horse was brought into the city, and it just so happened that within the horse, it was a hollow wooden horse, very large one, and it had many of the Greek warriors, like a shock troop party in the body of the horse. And when they brought them in by cover of night, everyone came out of the horse, flung open the gates, and the rest of the Greek army came in and took over. And if you now bring this into a spiritual realm, this is exactly how some of these elements get into our lives. They come in subtly. You don't necessarily think that you're being affected by them, but you are. You know, in the types of entertainment that you use, or the places that you go, or the people that you deal with, if you don't choose carefully, sometimes those things infiltrate, and before you know it, they've gained inroads into your mind and heart, and they cause all kinds of problems. So these things begin to erode on you little by little, until before you realize it, you are hooked by sensuality, or at least influenced to the point where your values, your deeply held beliefs, and integrity are compromised. Using the Bible as our foundation, I'd like to take a few minutes today to describe more fully the battle that we are in. I'd like to use Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21, which identify the so-called deeds or works of the flesh as the basis of this message. And using several scriptural passages as cross-references, I'd like to closely identify these actions and attitudes that are so dangerous to our spiritual well-being. And then I'd later like to offer a few suggestions of what we can do to avoid these things, and by doing so, guard and maintain our spirituality. The title of the message is Avoiding the Works of the Flesh. Avoiding the Works of the Flesh. For context, I'd like for us to read Galatians 5, verses 16 to 25. And we'll read straight through, and then I'll offer a bit of commentary on that. Galatians 5, 16 through 25. You know, we often read the other portion of that, which is, it's escaping me now, the term, the fruit of the Spirit, excuse me. Okay, but I'd like to focus on the other portion today, which is the works of the flesh. Galatians 5, beginning with verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Very good advice. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Messiah Yahshua have executed the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And of course, I read the fruit of the Spirit as well, so that you can closely identify by contrast what is the opposite from the fruit of the Spirit, which are, of course, the deeds or the works of the flesh.